And now, Ben Bailey.
God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. Welcome to our study of giving as an act of worship. The Scripture teaches that we are to give to God on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And thus, giving is one of the ways we worship or we honor the name of God. Friends, please understand that we're not requesting of you today gifts beyond what the Scripture commands you to give on the first day of the week in the regular congregation. We're not asking you to send in a love donation or promising benefits or blessings that the Lord doesn't promise. We want you to understand what God says on the subject of giving so that you can worship Him the way He wants you to. But as we think about giving, the heart and core of giving is found in conviction and conversion. True giving always begins with giving oneself to God. I want to start right off the bat looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verse 5. If we're going to solve the problems in giving and we're going to deal with giving in a God-oriented way, we've got to begin with giving ourselves to God. Notice this passage. The Bible says, talking of the Macedonians, Paul is, "And not only had we hoped," talking about their giving, notice this, "they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." Paul has been dealing with some giving, and they're giving so he can go and further spread the gospel. But he says, they gave not only as we hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, then to us by the will of God. Friends, all true giving begins with the giving of oneself. Do we realize that if we're going to be good givers, it has to start here. It has to start here with our heart. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." There we are. We give our lives to God, and as a result, we have no problem giving in the collection plate. Luke 9, 23, Jesus said, "If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." If we have the attitude that we're going to deny self and live for Jesus, I'm fully convicted and converted, there's going to be no problem with us giving liberally and giving cheerfully to the cause of Christ. But I guarantee you this, every person who has a problem in giving, every person who is greedy and gives grudgingly to the Lord, has a problem in conversion. Has a problem first giving themselves to the Lord and then giving to the cause of Christ. And so when we begin thinking about giving, let's ask ourselves first, have we really given our lives to the cause of Christ? Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Have we really given self to God? And then we will be good givers. But let's think about for a moment some negatives concerning giving. What giving is not. There are some misconceptions in the world today about giving. Please understand that giving to God means that we do not give God the leftovers. God is not going to be pleased if when in our worship the collection plate is passed around and we haven't thought about it before, but we reach in our wallet and dig out a dollar or two and give God the leftovers. God's not happy with that. Look at what happened in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. The people were giving God the leftovers. And I want you to notice what the Scripture says. The Bible says, "Will a man rob God?" And yet God said, "Yet you have robbed me." But you say, "In what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings?" Look at Malachi 1 verse 8 in the context of Malachi 3. And here's what the people were doing. The governor, they were giving him the best. Or God said, "You take this lame animal, you take this blind animal, you go offer it to the governor and see if he'd be happy." They were giving God leftovers. The lame, the sick, that which wasn't of any value to them, they just gave it to God. How foolish that was. God doesn't want the leftovers. God wants the first fruits. Jesus was the best God had. Colossians 1 verse 15, He gave us the very best. And my friend, God expects us to do the same. And so don't give God your leftovers. When collection time comes around or it's time to give, we need to think about that. We really need to put forethought into it. Understand as well that giving is not an option. It is a command of God. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, "As I've given orders to the churches in Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of every week, give as we have been prospered or lay by in store." We're to give to God as a command on the first day of every week, American Standard Version says. And so as we think about giving, just because maybe someone hurt your feelings, or just because maybe you're not happy with everything's going on, that does not give you any right to hold out your collection. God expects you to give. It is a command, and a failure to do that is no different than breaking any other command in the Scripture. Giving as well is not just to meet the budget. You know, we put budgets and numbers in places sometimes so we can kind of get an idea of where we're going and the plans that we have. But friends, if our giving is to meet the budget, shame on us. We ought to give because it's something that's worthwhile. We ought to give because it's a command of God and because we love the Lord. I want you to think of the words of Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Here's what giving is all about. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Notice what Jesus said. "Give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men put back into your bosom." Now, we're not teaching a social gospel saying that you give, God's going to give more and make you rich. But friends, I guarantee you this. The good giver who lives his life as well in accord with the Word of God is going to have riches far greater than you could ever imagine. And so we give because we love the Lord. We give because we see all that God has done for us and we want to do something as well for the cause of Christ. Now, friend, understand this also. Giving is not tithing. Under the Old Testament, the Israelites were commanded to give one-tenth of what they had. They were to give a tithe to the Lord. A tithe is one-tenth. One-tenth of the crop they gave to God. One-tenth of their offerings they gave to God. Now, friend, we don't give a tithe because we don't live under the Old Testament. Our giving is not based on a tenth because that was for the Old Testament people, the Israelites. And today, that law has been done away with. Let me illustrate. Look in your Bible with me in Ephesians 2. And I want you to notice verses 14 following. Here's what the Scripture says. "For He Himself, Jesus Himself, is our peace, who's made both one, Jew and Gentile, broken down the middle wall of separation." What separated the Jews and Gentiles? The Ten Commandment Law did. The Law of Moses. And so Jesus has broken down the middle wall of separation. Notice this. "Having abolished in His flesh the enmity," watch this, "that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new from the two, thus making peace." The Scripture clearly says that Jesus broke down that middle wall. He abolished in His flesh the Ten Commandments, the old covenant system. Hebrews 8 and verse 13 says, "That which is growing old," the Hebrew writer said, "was ready to vanish away." And so since we don't live under the Old Testament system, we're not commanded to give a tithe. In fact, we're commanded to give as we prosper. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. We're commanded to purpose in our heart and to lay by as we've prospered up. It's 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. And so giving is not the tithing that you read about in the Old Testament. The Bible teaches that the person who does give has to have the right attitude also. Attitude determines a lot in our giving. The way we think about God is often reflected by the way we give to the cause of Christ. For example, the giver should not be a greedy person. Greed is not something that God has ever been happy with. Colossians 3 makes a list of things that Christians are to put off. And one of those is covetousness or greed. Do you remember a greedy couple in Acts chapter 5? Ananias and Sapphira, they had land, it was theirs while they had it, they could have done what they wanted to with it. But they concocted a story to make themselves probably look good in the sight of others. He comes in, lies to Peter, "Did you sell this land for such and such price?" "Yes, we did." Drops dead on the spot. 3 hours later, she comes in, says the same thing. She drops dead on the spot. What was wrong with those two? Greed got in their heart. They tried to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part for themselves. And God wasn't happy with that. And so, friend, God knows if we're greedy. And greed is something that we should not let in our life. You know, the giver should also not be a person who tries to lay up treasures on earth. Ask yourself, where is your real treasure at? What are your treasures in this life? Is it about money? Is it about stuff and worldliness? Where are our treasures? I want you to look at the words of Matthew chapter 6. verses 19 through 21 as Jesus teaches us about true treasures. Here's what the Scripture says. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Notice this. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Friend, if you've got your heart set on that big mansion on the hill in the here and now, or you've got to have X amount of dollars in your bank account, or you've got to have all these nice things before you can give to God, guess what? You're never going to be a good giver until you realize your treasures are not on earth. Your treasures are in heaven. And the things that we now have, the stuff we collect in this life, do we not realize that we're just stewards of that and that God expects for us to deal with that in a proper way? You know, another attitude the giver ought not to have is a grudging heart. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, "If we give sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. If we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly." God doesn't want us to give with a grudging heart. It's the idea that, "Oh, I just can't get it out of my wallet and put it in the collection plate. It just hurts so much to give, I just can't hardly let go of it." That's the grudging part of giving. We're ashamed or we're upset that we have to give back to the cause of God. Friend, if that's your attitude, you have a true heart problem that needs to be dealt with by the Scripture. And so we must not be grudging. It ought to be cheerful. It ought to be a joy to give back. But friend, realize this also. When we give, our giving should not be done to be seen of men. I want you to look at an example of this in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus rebuked the hypocrites who were doing this when He said in Matthew 6 verse 1, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds to be seen before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory from men." Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly." Here are these people, they're out doing their good works and their good deeds when a crowd's around, on the street corner, when everybody could see them. Their Christian works, their giving, was to make themselves look better. Friend, we must not give so that others can look at us and say, "Wow, look how much so-and-so gave." Or, "Wow, look how much he really loves the Lord." Because although giving is a command of God, giving is not the only indicator of true faithfulness. It's a command. It's something we must do. But just because a person lays a big amount of money in the collection plate does not mean his life is right with God. We've got to also live our life faithfully for Jesus. And so don't be doing it to be seen by other people. Let us then turn our attention to what real giving is all about. What's the motivation for giving? You know, when we think about giving as an act of worship, what is it that stimulates us? What is it that motivates us to want to give back to the cause of Christ? The first motivation for giving is the giving nature of our God. Friend, all good giving begins by an understanding of how giving our God is. Listen to the words of John 3:16. You want to talk about a giving God? Here it is. John 3, verse 16, the Scripture clearly says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What's it mean to give? God motivates us to be good givers because He gave the best He had. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, His precious Son. He gave to mankind for their salvation.